T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
I'd like to have a banana split, and I'd like to have 3 scoops of ice cream, vanilla, and chocolate and strawberry.
Now, Mark Reardon.
He's kind of a dumb guy, you know that.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Nope. Not Mark Reardon.
Nope and nope.
Nope. It's Bo Matthews, Carol Daniel.
2 for 1.
Hanging out. Yeah, there it is. Hanging out today to get you into the weekend. How are you, Carol?
I'm so tired.
Yeah?
I am tired.
Did you have a watch party last night?
A watch party of 2.
Okay.
2.5. My son stepped in and watched some of it. My husband and I were watching it, pausing it, screaming a little bit. Not much.
Yeah.
You know, commenting and then let it play.
Was there a drinking game involved?
I've never done that.
You haven't?
I've never done that for anything. I've never done a drinking game for anything.
Really?
No. Why would I do that?
Fred, get some quarters and some beer, will you please? We've got to show her how this is done. Yeah.
Did you have a drinking game last night watching the debate?
Nah, last night I didn't. I was pretty calm. But there are rules out there if you like to play that kind of, you know, sort of thing. And actually, on my program tonight, we'll be talking with my buddy Brian, who did actually do a drinking game at a watch party, which I won't do a presidential debate watch party anymore. It just takes too long, especially with the pausing of a DVR. It's like, we did one in 2016, and it lasted 7 hours. I'm like, never again.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Never again. This is longer than the Super Bowl.
I'd rather do a watch party for something fun.
Right.
Just how about that for
exactly.
Something fun. Although Stephen Colbert has it's not a drinking game, but he's got I don't know if it's real, but it was funny to me, a malarkey punch card.
Oh.
And the joke was if he gets to 5 punches, he gets a free sub. And so we got one malarkey last night from the former vice president.
And that was one of my first questions with my buddy Brian was, hey, was malarkey part of it, you know, and did you have to drink a half a bottle or whatever? Because it's a word you just don't hear very often.
I actually use that.
On a regular basis?
Not regularly, but...
Once in a while? That's malarkey.
It's a bunch of malarkey.
Okay.
To keep me from using profanity, I have various words.
On a serious note, how do you think the debate went?
I was relieved that it was an actual, somewhat intelligent debate of policy.
Mm-hmm.
I was so relieved for the nation that we were not taken through the ringer of something just ludicrous. I was so happy about that. And that's really that's my main takeaway.
Had that been the first debate, then the first debate being the second debate would have been more understandable, but they could have covered so much more material.
Because there's so much.
and it seemed like they regurgitated a lot of what we've already heard. A lot of headlines were said last night, you know, for different part, you know, for both parties. I thought Biden did the best I've ever seen him do in a debate personally, but I've only seen, you know, a handful of them for him. I thought he looked good. He looked like he was getting a little tired towards the end. But what is he, 78?
They're both old. I don't know why we're comparing ages.
I'm just saying, sometimes I'll be in my pajamas and Trump hits the stage at, you know, in Tallahassee at 9:30 at night. I'm like, I'm in my pajamas already.
Both old. And he's out of shape, too. And that worries me.
Who is?
President Trump.
Well,
I know he's out there doing whatever, but.
I think somebody said I was his body double.
Oh, my gosh. Let us bring in former CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer, who is a Granite City native.
Yeah.
Shout out to Granite City. Peter, welcome back to KMOX.
I want you also to know that I am president of the D.C. area Carol Daniel Fan Club.
Ooh.
Good to be with you, too, Bo.
How are you?
All right.
We need to meet for brunch for this with this fan club.
I'd like nothing better.
Oh man, I am a fan of yours as well. So I know you watched last night. What was your takeaway?
Well, look, I don't think there was any big win or loss on either side. There were a couple of gaffes here and there compared to, as you all were just saying, the tone of it, compared to last week's, the first debate's food fight. Last night's face-off was something of a quiet dinner a lot of times. The whole approach with the so-called mute button, which was not really a mute button, but the agreement that there wouldn't be any interruptions and the mics would stay off during the first 2 minutes of each person's response, I think, lent to the overall tone.
Peter, if I could ask, what do you think was the best line of the night? Did you have a favorite?
Oh, my goodness. I think the best lines of the night probably came in, not to make light of it, but because it was a very serious conversation that my friend Kristen Welker led on racism, and Donald Trump again repeated that that he was the best president for black people since, except with the exception of Abraham Lincoln, to paraphrase.
Maybe.
And then Biden addressed him as Abraham Lincoln over here.
That was
and
crazy.
Trump said, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, that was a weird moment.
Yeah, and he said his dog whistle was like a foghorn. So
I thought you were going to say the learning to die with it was a line as well.
Yeah, about COVID.
Yeah, when the president said we're learning to live with it.
Right.
Yeah. There was a couple of moments that I think the one line that just probably struck me and that was really, it was said well, was when President Trump said to Joe, he says, "You and Barack Obama are the reason I ran." And I was like, wow, that hit. That
and, you
hit
know,
hard.
And I, when I heard that, because I that hit too, Peter, I had this, had a reaction that, okay, are you admitting, you're admitting something to some, because supporters of the president would say, yeah. Detractors of the president have always said that he is in some way jealous of Barack Obama, and he wants to dismantle everything he did so he can be this great guy.
Right.
And so there are two reactions to that line that did hit.
Yeah, he has said variations of that since taking office, and also especially during political times.
Peter, let me ask you, too. I was waiting with bated breath when they were asked to speak to black families who have the talk. I thought this is teed up for the former vice president because he loves to talk to the camera. And clearly his campaign thinks that's helping to speak to the people directly to the camera. So I was waiting for him to, and I just felt that President Trump would not answer it well. And I was disappointed by both of them.
You know, look, I think that it is difficult for anyone who is not in the position to have the talk, any of us who are white, to fully grasp it, and especially people of their ages. You saw the body language of Joe Biden when he put his hands up as if holding a steering wheel when he talked about what black families tell their kids to do, where they tell them to put their hands if they're pulled over. And, you know, both of them were totally lacking in empathy. I think, you know, Trump more than Biden, but it's just not his style to go down that road.
Yeah, I thought they both missed the opportunity when Kristen Welker said, "Okay, it's Inauguration Day. What do you say to America?" And neither one really...
That was another missed opportunity.
Yeah, they didn't frame it the way she intended them to answer it. It was just...
Well, I mean, I don't know what she intended, because the question was, what would you say that day?
Right.
And neither one of them... And I think Biden's got a little close, but then... No. But
yeah,
it was
the classic softball to me. If you're going to go into a final presidential debate, surely you have your closer statement ready, whether you're asked the question or not. And that, too, was surprising. Maybe both of these septuagenarians were tired at that point in the game, but, missed opportunity for both.
No, I think, didn't Trump do two more rallies after the debate last night in various cities?
All right, Peter, brunch for the Carol Daniel fan club. We're going to do it.
All right.
Thanks for joining us,
thank
sir. Appreciate
you. Good to hear
it.
You.
Carol, thank you so much. And maybe we'll talk on, what is November 3rd? They call it Election Day,
that's
but I think we're
say.
Already into election days.
Yes, we are. Yes, we, and we're all
million
exhausted.
Million votes already cast in counting, so they're waiting in line right now.
It's crazy.
Peter thank you, Mayer, Peter.
Yeah, from
thank
CBS
you.
News White House correspondent. Thank you so much. How can you tell what is fake news, especially in these times on every headline? Well, coming up next, we talk with Katie Byron, who is the head of MediaWise, with some skill sets that she can share with you to make sure you fact check what you want to fact check. It's next with Bo and Carolyn for The Mark Reardon Show on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on KMOX.
It's The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. My name is Bo Matthews, and I always love to talk to smarter people than me, and I believe this person is that, because there's a company called MediaWise. It's a nonpartisan program within the Poynter Institute. This started back in 2018, and if you're just confused about what's the truth, what's not true, when it comes to, let's say, elections, since that's on a lot of people's minds, we have the program manager and editor of MediaWise, Katie Byron. Welcome to KMOX in St. Louis. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. I want to find out what this is all about. It started off as a teenager program to teach teenagers how to sort fact from fiction online. And as I spend more and more time on social media, I think I need this program too.
Well, you're in luck because, yes, we started with a teens-focused program with MediaWise. It is a digital media literacy initiative of the Poynter Institute, nonprofit, nonpartisan. But we have expanded over the past 2 years and added a program for first-time voters with our MediaWise Voter Project, and also a seniors program, which for us we count as 50-plus, going off of what AARP uses. So I don't know how old you are, Bo, but maybe that might be more in your range or more your speed.
Are you deciding this on the quality and the deepness of my voice? Because this voice has been around since I was 14. I'm just putting it out there.
My husband has a deep voice also, so no.
Well, let's talk about the genesis of it, though, because it was meant originally for teenagers. What were the results of teenagers taking this program?
So the MediaWise Project, like you said, started in 2018, and a lot of people have think that teenagers, because they've grown up with the internet, are more digitally savvy, but
yeah.
Research has shown time and again that that is not the case. This is an issue that people struggle with as young as 13 or up way through senior age demographic, which is why we're kind of building this program up through all age groups for Americans. But essentially what the MediaWise Project is all about is teaching people how to think more like professional fact checkers when they're consuming content online,
right,
particularly on social media.
Well, so again, the success that you had with the teenage program then launched you into the college age, or the first-time voter age, and then 50-plus. By the way, I have been getting AARP cards for about 4 years now. So what are they learning in this program? All three categories. What is the best thing that you can say about this? Because I do want to mention it's a free program for people, and we'll discuss how you can get this and get connected to it. But Katie, do you believe that the teenagers are more savvy now after taking your course?
Absolutely. And we have we've reached 33 million people.
Wow.
With our content has been viewed 33 million times across platforms since we launched in 2018. So there's a voracious appetite for what we're teaching. And really, it's all about, like I said, thinking more critically and thinking more like professional fact checkers. That's what we're teaching, because Stanford History Education Group did some research back 5 years ago that really started this whole program that showed when you looked at three different types of people they surveyed. One group was professional fact checkers, so journalists like myself. One group was undergraduate students at Stanford, and the third group was historians. And they found very quickly, testing these three groups, that the professional fact checkers were significantly better than the other two groups at discerning what was real and accurate and reliable on the internet. So what we're doing is teaching the masses the skills and tools that fact checkers use to do their jobs, which is why this project found a home at the Poynter Institute, because Poynter is a nonprofit, nonpartisan journalism teaching organization.
Right.
So that's really the crux of what we do. There's a couple of quick tips I'd love to share with your audience, because I know that people are very confused by a lot of misinformation that's being shared constantly. You know, daily we're seeing misinformation and at times disinformation, which is deliberately misleading information.
Or just opinion.
Shared.
Or just opinion. You know, it comes
yes,
off.
Or just opinion.
I've said this before, you know, the likes of Sean Hannity, you know what you're going to get when you tune into him, because he's just going to play you sound bites, the same ones he's been playing for years. He's going to just, you know, bullet point things. Because, you know, we could say that Fox leans right. But then if you tune into Rachel Maddow or Chris Cuomo, it's almost like you could start their broadcast with "Once Upon a Time." And then they tell you a story, which is not, sometimes doesn't seem like it's based on facts. And so, yes, please share with me. By the way, Katie Byron is our guest, program manager, editor of MediaWise. Please share with me some tips that people can get right now and then hopefully get to your program.
Yes. So number one is the three very important questions that are really the foundation of the MediaWise project that were developed by the Stanford History Education Group, one of the original partners on MediaWise. These are questions that journalists ask themselves when they're doing their work, so it's very helpful to anyone when they're consuming content online and even watching television, like you mentioned.
Right.
The questions are, number one, who is behind the information? What kind of bias might they bring to this information that they're sharing? You know, what are their motivations? Seeking out more information about who is sharing it or an account on social media is very, very important right now.
Right.
Number two is, what is the evidence? Is this person or account sharing evidence to support what they're saying? If there's no, I like to say, you know, when I see any kind of post on social media, if there's no link to back up what they're talking about, some supporting evidence, I love to see a post with a link.
Yeah, no, just
gives you more.
And I've gotten in trouble with that too. It's like I'll see something, I'll have an emotion about it, I'm gonna share it. And then all of a sudden I get this, you know, this, you know, drenching load of people going, "Hey, you're wrong. It was fact checked. It's wrong." So yeah, I think we've all been in that situation, because I think we're all just looking for the truth. But so we've got who's behind it, and evidence. And what's your third point?
And the third is, what are other sources saying? And I think you nailed it with looking at multiple, you know, TV cable news outlets, for example. I think that's very important to do right now in such a partisan environment that the country is in,
right.
Is reading outlets and reading information from multiple sources on any given topic or story or trending issue or anything that you care about related to the election or anything related to the pandemic. You know, reading 2, 3, sometimes 4 sources on any given subject is super important to getting out of your own kind of echo chamber and, you know, breaking those kind of silos that people have developed over time.
It's a really
very
good point.
Important.
Katie Byron, thank you so much for sharing the information about this. It's so important because, like I said at the beginning of this conversation, everybody just wants answers. We just want answers. And this is a great way to learn out which are the correct answers. Don't you miss, Katie, don't you miss when, if it was in black and white, it was the truth? Do you remember those days?
Well, I'd like to tell people, you know, if you're talking about black and white on the cover of a newspaper, everyone has to learn to be their own social media newsfeed editor.
Yeah,
that's what
you're
we're
right.
teaching ultimately, because otherwise you can get a lot of garbage in there.
And you can lose friends, which, you know, I probably have enough at this point. No, I'm just kidding.
We should do this again, and I can give you some tips and your audience some tips about how to talk to family and friends when you see them sharing misinformation.
Oh, I need to take that course right this second. All right, Katie, good luck to you. Thank you so much for the help. And yes, I would love to talk to you again soon about what you guys discover. And again, thanks for sharing the information. That's poynter.org/MediaWise. And that is Katie Byron.
Such an interesting conversation, and it's so necessary because it's very easy to just not know what you're looking at, to not know if it's the truth or not.
My main thing is, can you trust all fact checkers? Seriously.
Well, you got to know who the fact checkers are.
People. Exactly. So yeah. You got to fact check the fact checkers.
Yeah.
It gets to be involved.
Well, that's why you stick with sources you believe, but what has happened, you know, with the moniker of fake news is that people have less trust in not only this institution, but others, and that's problematic. I wanted to add that our own Megan Lynch, who is an award-winning series reporter here at KMOX, is going to be a part of Media Literacy Week at Webster University next Monday at 7 p.m. She and Julie Smith, who teaches media literacy at Webster University School of Communications. You can sign up for the free online event at alumni.webster.edu. It is 2:29. The news is next.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
It is 2:36 at KMOX, the Mark Reardon Show. Mark is taking some time off. Carol Daniel and Bo Matthews with you this afternoon. Bo, they can follow you on social media.
All platforms, at Bo Matthews, BOMATTHEWS, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and how about you?
Mine is at Carol Daniel, KMOX, Twitter, and Facebook.
Gotcha.
But Instagram is Carol Three Loves. And the three loves are my husband and my sons. Carol Three Loves on Instagram. Yes.
I got it.
I thought
it was Blue Owl Pastries, My Good Lord, and Bo Matthews.
My Good Lord is a good one. That is a good one. You know, so many people that are listening right now have been touched by dementia or Alzheimer's, and I am one of them. I've talked a great deal about my mother's dementia, Bo. She was diagnosed maybe 5 years ago now, and they call it the long goodbye for a reason, because it is just that. And you just feel like you're just being robbed. I mean, I just feel like something's taking her and we can't do the things we used to do. Thanksgiving is coming, and she is an incredible cook, and it's a 2-day process. And then we would go Black Friday shopping together, you know, leave at midnight. And I remember the last year, and she said, I think this may be the last time I can do this.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I asked her at one point, Bo, what is this like early in the diagnosis?
Yeah.
What is it like to know? And I could only ask her that because we were on the phone. If I had been in with her in person, I could not have asked the question. And I said, what is it like to know? And she said, it's terrifying.
Oh.
And that was probably 3 years ago.
Just a week ago that we were here in for the Reardon Show. And you had mentioned we were talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas and how it's going to be different. And you said about every 10 minutes, she's like, okay, so what are we doing for Thanksgiving?
Right. The last time we were together, because I get to visit in person at the assisted living
where they are.
And every 10 minutes she was asking, you know, what are we going to do for Thanksgiving? Because short-term memory, you know, it's just not there. But long-term memory, you know, is.
Have you had the moment where she hasn't recognized you yet?
Have not had that. I'm going to... You will not see me for weeks. I get emotional now thinking about that. And I have friends who have gone through it, coworkers here, Kevin, Colleen, Bill Ricker, who used to be a news anchor here, and Brian Kelly. They've all lost parents to Alzheimer's. And so the St. Louis Walk to End Alzheimer's is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's different because of COVID, of course, but people are still going to be out in communities all over. St. Charles, Washington, Missouri, Belleville, Edwardsville, St. Louis, they're happening all over. And joining us now is someone who has also been touched and is taking part in the walk tomorrow. Carlos Otero joins us. Carlos, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Who are you walking for?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I am walking in honor of my abuelo, Raimundo Ramon Otero.
And that is?
He is my grandfather.
And is he still with us, or did he lose his battle?
He is not. He unfortunately passed away in late March of 2016 after a very lengthy, unfortunate battle with Alzheimer's disease.
What do you remember about his initial diagnosis and the changes that your family saw in him that made you guys think something's wrong?
Yeah, so I had, at that point in time, I had already been admitted to the University of Illinois. I didn't know much about the disease, honestly, Carol. I was relatively green to it. I think really the whole family was. You know, I knew the general sense of it was that, you know, he was losing kind of a lot of memory. I was having a hard time remembering who people were, and it was really it was a slow transgression at the beginning. It was, you know, him kind of forgetting who he was talking to or forgetting a thought. And then it really started to turn more into, you know, walking off on his own and forgetting how to get in a car. It was really heartbreaking. And you don't really know, you know, how, you know, people think, you know, how does this kill somebody? You know, you don't really know, but like you said it perfectly. It really is the long goodbye. They slowly forget how to do, you know, necessary things in life that a person needs to do to remain healthy. So, so we unfortunately did lose him, and, you know, we just took it one step at a time until, unfortunately, you know, he can no longer fight.
And Carlos, did you have an opportunity to ask him early on, like Carol did with her mom, about, you know, how it made him feel, like initially after the diagnosis?
Yeah, you know, I didn't. I was a bit younger at the time. And my dad, you know, was with him often. They both ran the, you know, Ramon's El Dorado, which is a restaurant in Collinsville that has been there for almost six decades now.
I know that restaurant.
Yeah, love the place.
Sorry, we're excited.
Yeah. I want a sopapilla. Sorry.
Anytime. You know, it's crazy. You know, he started that out of the trunk of his 49 Plymouth. I mean, it was kind of the food truck before the food truck.
Wow.
I didn't really get a chance to ever ask him, you know, face to face what that was like. I know my dad, you know, he really had a hard time with it. No one really understood it. And I think that is, you know, such an important part of why the Alzheimer's Association is what it is. It's you know, people, they're there to help and to let people know that they're not alone. I know that sounds a lot like a cliche, but something like 5 million Americans are living with it, you know, today. I mean, it's like, you know, one in three senior citizens that have it, you know, dies with that or some form of dementia. And it's an incredibly apparent, you know, and, you know, the Alzheimer's Association, they're there to for care, support, and research. I mean, it's not even for individuals per se who have already passed away. It's for people who are living with this disease in some format or another.
And caregivers.
You know? Yeah, and caregivers. That's correct, Carol. I mean, it's, you know, this is for everyone. It's such a tough road. And I was, you know, there for the end of it. And it's, you know, it's very, very hard. It took a very hard toll on my family. And it's, you know, you hate to see your parents have to do that and, you know, work so hard. My dad is, you know, there currently at that restaurant working day in, day out, you know, 12 hour days. And it's just been, I think it's been tough on him for the longest time, but the, you know, the walk to end Alzheimer's, I think we started in 2018, and I just was like, you know, I want to get involved. So we, you know, we assembled a team in honor of my grandfather, and we went out, and, there was like a point in time where I, you know, saw him walking. There were thousands of people there at that time when, you know, we didn't have the pandemic. And I just kind of saw a little something in my dad's eye, and it was closure for him, you know. Yeah. And that's what really sparked me to want to get involved and lend my, you know, my skills and what I do to those guys. And they've been a huge help. And I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I hate to interrupt. We only have a minute or so left. Where are you walking tomorrow? Because what is happening is it's not the big walk. There are smaller teams all over the metropolitan area that are walking tomorrow. Where's your team going to be?
Absolutely. So we, unfortunately, are walking on Sunday. We can't join the main day. So
still walking. Can, you know, still walking.
But still walking, yeah. So we're walking in Cahokia Mounds. On the other side of the river. And that's, you know, my grandfather really liked that area. And it was where he kind of started with giving food to, you know, selling it to all the local taverns in the area. So it was kind of his, you know, the beginning of what Ramon's is today.
Well, I've got to believe that there's some people listening going, oh, that's tomorrow.
Right.
Because we're all living in this weird, you know, time warp kind of thing. You know, when are my license plates due? That kind of thing. So, yeah, tomorrow, the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's. It's the world's largest event to raise awareness and funds for Alzheimer's care, support, and research programs. Carlos, thank you so much for joining us. For those that want to sign up or make a donation, even without walking, we have that information.
You can go to the St. Louis Walk page, Carlos, act.alz.org/STL. That's a lot of letters there, act.alz.org/STL, or do like everybody else does, Google Alzheimer's Association, Missouri, and it'll take you to the page. Carlos, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us, and I will take a sopapilla when you get a minute.
You absolutely are welcome to come anytime.
I live very close to you. I'll be there soon. It is 2:45 at KMOX.
Mornings at 8:30, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors provide perspective on KMOX and KMOX.com.
It is Bo Matthews and Carol Daniel in for Mark Reardon, and we are a week away, a little more than a week away from Halloween, and everything is different. There's some neighborhoods that are just doing it like they always do.
Yeah.
And some have, you know, big restrictions. We've talked to people with inventions for candy delivery systems, but you got to start with a good costume.
Yeah, you do.
And so were you a homemade costume kid or a store-bought costume kid?
As a kid, a little bit of both.
Okay.
I dressed my sister up one time as a trash bag. She will never let me forget that. I just took a trash bag, cut the arms and legs out, and then just stuffed it with, you know, and voila.
Boom.
I thought it was super creative.
Right.
She did not like it at all. Whatever. Yeah. And then dressed my son up as a bought white sweats and little pom-pom balls and made him a clown and colored his face.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's
How
got
about
a,
you? You
a
didn't answer.
Way.
You.
Well, nobody asked until now. I was always, you know, okay, so the first store-bought one was the plastic mask that the rubber band broke and that didn't work,
yeah.
You know, and you had to tape it to your head. That was terrible.
Oh, my God.
And then eventually a hobo. You remember hobos?
Yeah.
I mean, just the, you know, with the stick and the bandana with the pouch on it. I was a hobo
Works.
So many years.
Oh, you did it more than once.
Oh, yeah. It was my go-to.
You kept the stick.
But everybody's got their idea of Halloween costumes. And for years, Murr's Goodwill around the St. Louis area has always done a great job when it comes to Halloween. Whether that you go in and you get one of their costumes that they already have prearranged, or you can go through the clothing sections. We've got Allison Nichols from Murr's Goodwill to join us to talk about safe costumes that kids can wear this year. How are you, Allison?
I am awesome. Thanks so much for having us on. This is awesome.
Every store is loaded down with costume ideas, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, Goodwill's bread and butter for Halloween. It's really those unique, one-of-a-kind items that you really just can't find in a traditional department store. So, you know, any one of our stores, you can hop in and find, you know, one of those trench coats, or you might find a cape. You might find a one-piece jumpsuit that's straight from the 80s.
In June,
you really
you could
know,
get those
never
things.
Know. Yeah. You never know what you're going to find in one of our stores.
And to give us a sense of what you remember people, even now and years past, coming in and walking out with.
Oh, yeah. So superheroes are always very, very popular, especially with the kids. And you can come in one of our stores and probably find anything like a Batman T-shirt or a Superman cape. Superheroes are definitely very popular this year, as well as they are in previous years. You know, Mario has always been very popular. Grabbing a pair of overalls with a red T-shirt. Witches are always, you know, for a girl or for a woman. And then I think this year ninjas are going to be pretty in style, since you have to wear a mask in a lot of our neighborhoods. So you're already wearing a mask if you're a ninja. So once again, a pretty popular find in one of our stores as well.
And one can do this and not drop a lot of money. That's the deal.
Oh, definitely. So I think all in, most of the time you're going to find a costume anywhere from like less than $10, $15, because especially if you're going to get multiple pieces here that you can either reuse over and over again, or I like to think about it, and especially if I'm getting some of these, if I'm a woman and I'm in there shopping for something vintage, I might be able to find a really awesome dress straight from like Dynasty or Designing Women or any of those shows that I remember
nice.
When I was a kid. I'm going to get it for less than $10 in most cases. Yeah. So I'm finding some pretty cool clothing items. Yeah.
I have to tell you, my wife loves going to the different Goodwills around the area. We go thrifting because during coronavirus, you know, it's like, well, we just, you know, sit in the house all the time and we'll go thrifting. And she's always finding great quality clothing mm-hmm. at the Goodwills around. So you guys do a great
Definitely.
Job. Just briefly, are you guys taking donations like you always used to do, or is that limited or different?
Donations is a little bit different. So we are doing what we call a contactless donation process, meaning when you come up, we have some large boxes out there that you can place your donations, and we're just trying to keep everybody safer than what we, you know, traditionally would have. Maybe we would have helped you unload your car, but it's keeping you safe and keeping our employees safe as well. We are not taking any large items at this time either, just because space is still a little limited. with our donations.
Well, thanks
definitely,
for explaining that.
We are definitely accepting donations, though.
Allison, I wanted to circle back just briefly because I'm finding that my 20-year-old is discovering, kids these days, they act like something, they know something we don't know. We have been going to Goodwill for decades. But are you finding that younger people, college students, teenagers are coming in more and more?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you look at, like, some of our college towns, like, if you look at Edwardsville, our Rolla stores, those stores are full of costume ideas. Like, I am not in my 20s anymore, but Tiger King is very popular. You can get all the costume pieces for that super popular Tiger King costume right in our stores.
That's a home run, yeah.
She buried the lead. Allison, you buried the lead.
So you want any kind of leopard print something? What's the guy? What's the gal's name down in Florida?
Carol Baskin and Joe Exotic. So
I bet you're gonna get
all you need. You can find something fringe for Joe in our stores. You're gonna find something leopard print for Carol. You could be a tiger. Like there, if you're looking for Tiger King costumes, you can probably find something.
That is great.
And a construction or a trucker hat and a holster for a gun. Definitely. Yeah, they got it all. MERS Goodwill, Allison Nichols. Thanks for joining us on the Voice of St. Louis GameWorks.
That is. Thanks so much.
She did bury the lead.
She buried the lead, but I am not going to bury the lead. Next hour, I have a question for Bo. Would he ever wear men's nail polish?
I'll answer it right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.